Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, Deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna Trees, Text 6 and 7. Text 6, Tam Drishtva Vridita Devyo Vivastra Shapa Sankita Vasangsi Paryadhu Shigram Vivastral Naiva Guyakao. Upon seeing Narada, the naked young girls of the demigods were very much ashamed. Afraid of being cursed, they covered their bodies with their garments. But the two sons of Kuvera did not do so. Instead, not caring about Narada, they remained naked. Text 7, the word meanings. Tau, the two boys of the demigods, Drishtva, seeing, Madira Mattau, very intoxicated because of drinking liquor. Sri Mada Andhau, being blind with false prestige and opulence. Sura Atmajau, the two sons of the demigods, Tayo, unto them. Anugraha Artaya, for the purpose of giving special mercy. Shapam, a curse. Dasyan, desiring to offer them. Idam, this. Jagal uttered. Tau drishtva madira mattau Shri madandhau suratmajau Tayor anugrahartaya Shapam dasyan idam jagau Tau drishtva madira mattau Shri madandhau suratmajau Tayor anugrahartaya Shapam dasyan idam jagau Tau drishtva madira mattau Shri Madandhau Suratmajau Tayor Anugrahataya Shapam Dasyan Idam Jagau Ladies.
Tau
Translation. Seeing the two sons of the demigods naked and intoxicated by opulence and false prestige, Devarshi Narada, in order to show them special mercy, desired to give them a special curse. Thus he spoke as follows. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Although in the beginning Narada Muni appeared very angry and cursed them, at the end the two demigods, Nalakubara and Manigriva, were able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna face to face. Thus the curse was ultimately auspicious and brilliant. One has to judge what kind of curse Narada placed upon them. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives herein a good example. When a father finds his child deeply asleep, but the child has to take some medicine to cure some disease, the father pinches the child so that the child will get up and take the medicine. In a similar way, Narada Muni cursed Nalakubara and Manigriva in order to cure their disease of material blindness. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Tau Drishtva Madira Mattau Sri Madhandhau Suratmajau Tayor Anugrahartaya Shapam Dasya Nidam Jagau. Seeing the two sons of the demigods naked and intoxicated by opulence and false prestige, Devarshi Narada, in order to show them special mercy, desired to give them a special curse. Thus he spoke as follows. Anugraha artaya. These words are very important in this verse. Anugraha means mercy. Artaya means for the purpose of giving. So Prabhupada, I like the way he uses this term here, he says, thus the curse was ultimately auspicious and brilliant. So devotees are the Mahabhagavatas, they're known to be brilliant, they know how to act in all situations. Especially Narada Muni, Prabhupada said in the previous purport, wherever Narada Muni goes, any moment at which he appears is understood to be extremely auspicious. So Narada is one of the Mahajans. I was going over in my mind this morning Narada's appearances in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He's so prominent in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He appears first in the very first canto. Of course, Vyasadeva is bewildered, not sure what to do. And Narada appears. So Narada is his spiritual master of Vyasadeva, and so many other great devotees. So there's a whole chapter entitled The Appearance of Sri Narada, fifth chapter of the first canto. Then Narada gives so many instructions to Vyasadeva. In fact, in the first canto, there's a nice phrase that's always stuck in my mind. Some of you may have heard this lecture one time. Srila Prabhupada, he spoke at a convention of publishers. It was in England, I think. And Srila Prabhupada had his secretary read this verse, Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin prati shokam avadyavatyapi. That literature which is for bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of the misdirected civilization is accepted by sadhus. Srinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. It's accepted by sadhus. So it's a different kind of literature. Prabhupada had his secretary read this, the translation and purport to this. Of course, the purport to the verse is all about whatever these publishers are publishing is just nonsense and useless trash. Place of pilgrimage for crows. That was quite a bold statement Srila Prabhupada was making at this convention of publishers. So anyway, at the end of this purport, Srila Prabhupada says that we should take advantage of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is recommended by Narada Muni, who has very kindly appeared in this chapter. So I was stuck in my mind that phrase, Narada Muni has very kindly appeared in this chapter. So Narada Muni actually appears, I think Narada appears pretty much in every canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the first canto, as I just mentioned, I was thinking at least of one instance. The only one I couldn't think of was the ninth canto. In the second canto, Narada is there with Lord Brahma. You know, he questions Lord Brahma. Is there someone greater than you? Who are you praying to? That exchange is there. In the third canto, one place he's mentioned is that he told Devahuti about Kardama Muni. Of course, the union of Kardama Muni and Devahuti is important because the appearance of Lord Kapila is connected with that. In the fourth canto, I'm just thinking one instance. I know there are others that come up, but he's talking to King Prichinabharishat, so we have the whole Pranjan story. Narada Muni is involved in that. In the fifth canto, Narada is there because Narada is the spiritual master of King Priyavrata. In the sixth canto, the Chitraketu pastime of the son Harsha Shoka. So Narada Muni was there with Parvat Muni. In the seventh canto, Narada Muni instructs Prahlad within the moon. In the eighth canto, there's one instance where the demigods and demons are fighting, as they often do. And Narada comes and advises the demigods. Ninth canto, I'm not sure. I couldn't think of anything. Anybody can think of anything in the ninth canto where Narada appears? Okay, so Narada has some connection with the pastime of Ambarish Maharaj. And in the 10th canto, of course, we're seeing him now, right in the beginning of where we're hearing a reference to Narada. Of course, Narada is not present in Vrindavan, but there's some relationship to the story that we're hearing. And we'll hear Narada again, at least in Krishna's Dwarka pastimes. Most famously, Narada comes and visits Krishna in Dwarka, and he sees how Krishna's living simultaneously in 16,108 palaces. So Narada is extremely important to us. As I said, he's one of the Mahajans. In fact, in the Bhagavatam, there are several places where the creation is discussed, especially in the earlier cantos. And it often comes up also in prayers of different devotees. They talk about the creation or make some reference to it. So the creation of different personalities is given. So Narada is considered the first of all, the Kumaras. The Kumaras were created before Narada, or appeared before Narada. And the Kumaras are Shaktyavesh avatars. In the first canto, there's a list of the different avatars. So some Shaktyavesh avatars are also mentioned, empowered incarnations of the Lord. So the Kumaras are empowered incarnations, and they represent Jnana Shakti. The Shakti of knowledge or philosophical speculation. Now we know, of course, that the Kumaras, they matured from that when they smelled the saffron mixed with tulsi and the lotus feet of the Lord when they entered into Vaikuntha. They had a transformation and they became devotees. But Narada, he's also a Shaktyavesh, but he represents Bhakti Shakti. He's empowered with he's a personification, you can say, of bhakti. He embodies devotional service to Krishna. So, because he's a devotee, whatever he does is for the benefit of everyone. We're seeing that, an example of that in this pastime today, that Narada's going to bless them. Prabhupada also says in yesterday's purport, saintly persons know how to bestow mercy upon the fallen souls. So as I began the class, I quoted this from word for word from the verse, Anugrahaya Artaya, for the purpose of giving special mercy. So Narada has only one purpose, just as Krishna has only one purpose. People speculate about God and they speculate about God's intentions. But the primary frame of mind for a devotee is that whatever Krishna does is good. Krishna is all good. We may not always understand how this is good, how this is good for me. Just like this example that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is giving, the child may not understand how it's good that my father is pinching me. I was sleeping soundly and my father is pinching me to wake me up. But it's time to take my medicine. So we may be pinched. We may feel like we're pinched a lot. The material energy does a lot of pinching. And we may not always understand what's happening. Why is Krishna doing this? But our conviction is that somehow this is good for me. I don't know why. I can't understand now. But I have to have this conviction that Krishna is doing this because it's good for me. Lokanam hitakarino tribhuvane. The Goswamis. Nana shastra vicharanaika nipuno sadharma samstapako. Lokanam hitakarino tribhuvane. Manyo saranyakaro. In the Shed Goswami Ashtak, that verse is there. That the Goswamis, they studied the scriptures very thoroughly. Nana shastra vichara naika nipuno. Very carefully. We see the examples of this when we read the Vaishnav literature. For example, Rupa Goswami, with the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or Nectar of Devotion, is full of so many references from so many scriptures. Supporting bhakti. Nana shastra vichara naika nipuno. Sadharma sangstapako. Because the most important part of the Shastra is that which establishes Sadharma. People have to be brought to Sadharma. Sadharma means, of course, eternal Dharma, or Dharma that's in connection with the Absolute Truth, not Asat Dharma. Asat Dharma is Buddhism, for example. Lord Buddha came to teach some kind of Dharma. But it was a temporary fix. So Sat Dharma or Sanatan Dharma, that's what the devotees bring, Sanatan Dharma, because Lokanam Hitakarino, because it's for the benefit of all living entities. Of course, one thing Narada, besides in the Bhagavatam, of course, Narada gives so many instructions to different devotees. He instructs Dhruva Maharaj, he instructs Prahlad Maharaj and others, because he's their spiritual master. He's also written books, the Narada Pancharatra, Narada Bhakti Sutra. Narada Pancharatra, Srila Prabhupada says, is for bringing the fruitive workers to the platform of devotional service. So, what does this mean? Because fruitive worker means all of us, really. Ordinary people beginning spiritual life. Because fruitive worker means we want something. We have material desires. And we work for those things. So the Narada Pancharatra means regulating your life. Or Narada is telling us how to regulate our lives in such a way that we engage our activities, which are usually meant for fruitive results, for getting something for ourselves, we engage them and purify them to gradually raise ourselves to the platform of devotional service, or become elevated to the platform of devotional service. Now, the Srimad Bhagavatam, you could say, is not exactly the same thing. It's not exactly, as the Prabhupada wouldn't call it, for fruitive workers. The Srimad Bhagavatam is Vaishnav transcendental literature, Nirmat Saranam Satam. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it said that this Srimad Bhagavatam is for those who are pure in heart. It's relishable by the devotees. Pibita Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. Drink the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Elevated, it's for elevated souls. The elevated souls relish Srimad Bhagavatam. Satvata Sanghitam. It's meant for Satvatas. Satvata. This word is related to the word sat, so liberated souls. The Srimad Bhagavatam is especially meant for liberated souls. So Narada, in any case, he gives instructions in the Bhagavatam and in other places to bring people to Sanatana Dharma, to bring them to devotional service to Krishna. So he does this in different ways. Naturally, as a preacher according to time, place, and circumstance, and the audience, the person to whom he's speaking. He gives different instructions. Another nice pastime of Narada's is his instructing Mrigari, the hunter. So he dealt with him in a particular way. Such a wicked person, what he was doing. He liked to see animals suffer. That was the way he was trained. That story is a nice example of how when you're trained in a certain way, it just becomes second nature. You just accept it. Just like in our society today, for most people, meat eating, it's just, they don't even think twice about it. It's just, okay, so what? What's wrong with that? We eat meat. Yeah, that's life. Why? Because that's the way people have grown up. That's the way they were trained. But when you have a little bit of knowledge, and someone tells you and points it out to you, especially when you hear from the self-realized soul with conviction, how horrible this is. How horrible it is to innocently take in the lives of animals. To take the lives of innocent animals. It's so horrible. It's so vicious. So, dealing with Mrigari, you had to stop this very sinful person. And so, of course, Narada doesn't just speak to people like that. He speaks to all different kinds of people. And according to their situation, he deals with them differently. So here he's dealing with sons of demigods, or I guess you could say demigods, sons of demigods, they're also demigods, devas. I sometimes think about this term because we talk about 33 million or 33 crores of demigods. So there are different kinds of demigods, and there are those.